soon I wither like the grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. We come to the preaching of the inspired word of God. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38 is our text for the evening. Who is Jesus Christ? Our work through the catechism has led us to a series of seven questions or so considering that question. Who is the person of Jesus Christ? He is the Redeemer of God's people. What kind of a Redeemer is He? Seven sermons here will consider who is our Redeemer? Who is Jesus Christ? The message for us this summer, this message for you all your life, is you need this Jesus. Last week we considered Christ the Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And some of you commented to me that it was a good thing that it was somewhat of a simple or straightforward sermon, because there are so many distractions all around you. It's a good thing that the sermon sort of was down the middle, just basic gospel presentation. Christ the Son. And then you look at the sermon this week, Christ the God-man. Our text is on the virgin birth. Christ the God-man announced to us in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And you say in your mind, we've moved from the basics and now we're all the way to grad school. We're all the way into the complex. We're all the way into the difficult. And in some ways you might be right. But I'm reminded that the early church, which also worshipped without air conditioning, also worshipped without running water fountains and fancy nurseries and all that, the early church found it necessary and profitable to confess the virgin birth. The Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. The church has always confessed, it's foundational, it's basic to our confession of faith, to announce Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. Many of you might say, well, why? What is it that's announced to us in the virgin birth? Our catechism questions 21 and 22 frame it like this. 21, we looked at part of this last week. We'll look at some features of the rest of it this week. Question 21. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? Answer, the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. The question is, well, how did that come about? How did it come about that Jesus Christ became man? Question 22, that's what the Catechism asks. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to Himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born of her, yet without sin. We consider that this evening, the virgin birth announcing the God-man, Jesus Christ. Our text is Luke 1, 26 to 38. I don't want us to all get too comfortable lounging in our chairs and we sleep in by the beach, so let's actually stand and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Let's pray before we read. Lord, we pray that You be with us as we consider this Word, that You give us insight that we might know the person of Jesus Christ all the more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting might this be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.
And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Some of you may be concerned there about me putting my Bible onto the ground. Don't worry, I have the passage tapes onto the lectern here. There's really no way of keeping the Bible on the right page as you preach in the wind. Luke 1, the virgin birth. As I was considering this week, I recall something you may not expect. This, I love watching old sports highlights. Something I really just enjoy doing. Memories of past basketball games, football games, great moments in racing. As a child, I remember getting this gift, a record of all the great moments in basketball history. And with that book came a CD where you could listen to the call. You could listen to the announcing of that great moment in history. What was said when it first happened? Sometimes what was said when it happened becomes such a moment or such a defining phrase, it becomes so attached to the moment. Why? Because the announcer has a way of letting you know something great just happened. A miracle just happened. The impossible has been seen before our eyes. I remember watching 20 years ago something that was called the Music City Miracle. The Tennessee Titans in an NFL playoff game, and right before the final moment, they needed a kickoff return. The announcer goes, do they have a miracle left in them? If they do, they need it now. And then it happens. Some of your minds might go back 40 years. The miracle on ice. The U.S. versus the Soviets, and there right at the end, Al Michaels. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. And the miracle happens. And there's something about the announcing of the miracle that draws you right in. You're literally on the edge of your seat, this sense of, can it happen? Can the impossible happen? And then you see it. And as your emotions get drawn in, you know, some of you, what it's like, the heart-wrenching and the excitement. Sometimes we feel that same emotion as we look to our world and we long for the impossible. We long for a miracle to happen. Maybe, just maybe, someone will come and announce a miracle. I said to you this evening, I look at this world and I think we need a miracle. I think most of you would agree with me. How many people look at a situation with the coronavirus? How many people look at a world beset with racism? How many people look at a recession that we don't know when it will end? How many people look at the turmoil of their hearts and they can't see a solution, and the only thing they could comprehend is maybe a miracle. Maybe the impossible will happen. And it's actually that longing for a miracle, it's that longing for the impossible, that's our entrance into the virgin birth. Our entrance into the incarnation. It seems impossible, but what are we longing for to happen but the impossible? Mary, in this passage, she knows it's impossible. Verse 29, she's troubled. Verse 34, how can this be? How can this possibly be since I am a virgin? And what this passage announces is the impossible. The church has long called this or known this as the Annunciation, the announcements. It's not an angel sitting behind a radio microphone. It's an angel coming to Mary announcing the impossible. And our heart says, that's what I need. I need the impossible to show up in this world. Maybe, just maybe, the virgin birth is actually the answer to the miracle you need in your life right now. Maybe you've been looking at a lot of places for a miracle to show up in your life. And maybe it's possible that the miracle you need is to meditate on what the possible miracle was 2,000 years ago. We're just going to move through this story of the impossible. announcing to us Jesus Christ. It begins verse 26 to 29 with the impossible presence of God. The impossible presence of God. Verse 26 to 29, announced to Mary presence. Verse 28, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Nine simple words. The nine simple words are almost too much for Mary. Verse 29, she's troubled. She tries to discern what sort of greeting might this be. What's going on here? Why would an angel come to me and announce that the Lord is with me? And why would Mary be so troubled? Why would she be so perplexed? I think it's because in the story, the seemingly impossible has already begun. Mary, we learn, verse 26, is from Nazareth. Nazareth is flyover country. It's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It's like one of those Indiana towns that you drive by on a rural road and say, I never knew that existed. I never knew there was a young America, Indiana, but lo and behold, there it is. I never knew there was Nazareth. And lo and behold, here's an angel talking to someone in Nazareth. And it's not just flyover country. Mary could almost be described as a flyover girl. Who is Mary? Do we know anything about her parents? Do we know anything about her significance? She's just a young woman. She's a virgin. That's what the word means. It means what it says. She's never been with a man. She's just a young girl. And God shows up to her. We're used to reading in the stories of all the religions of people or gods showing up to the significant, the noteworthy, the people you kind of expect them to show up to. And in Scripture, in the Gospel of Luke, the presence of God is announced to someone like Mary. Flyover girl and flyover country. Some of you this evening probably feel quite insignificant. You're not, but you just feel it. No one sees me. I'm not even sure I matter to anyone around me. I'm just a nobody. They wouldn't even notice if I was gone. Can you identify with Mary a little bit? And then can you identify with what it'd feel like to have the angel come and say, "The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." And this is the announcement of God. This is who He is. He comes and brings His presence to the needy, the weak, the insignificant. God brings His presence to the sinner who has ran away from God, and God shows up and brings His presence there. Just imagine, I know how these things aren't, this is not how things work, but imagine if those astronauts from that rocket launch we had a few weeks ago, imagine if they come and just landed right in your backyard. They just kind of knocked and tapped on your back window and said, "You know, we've decided that we're just going to spend our afternoon with you." Me? Why would you spend? Why would you come to me? It wouldn't make any sense. You'd be greatly troubled, and you would try to discern what sort of greeting that might be. And that's the feeling here. That God shows up to the weak, the insignificant, and the sinner, and that should land on your ears as miracle. As impossible, but possible. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, God is with the weak, the insignificant. And as you hear that simple message, this is a message we already heard this morning, right? We don't fear because God is with us. Just believing that simple truth. Can you confess that with your lips right now? The Lord is with me. The Lord is with us. God brings His presence to people like me. It starts to open up to you this whole story. This story may sound impossible, but is it really more impossible? Is it really more hard to believe yet true than the reality that God comes near? That the way of our God is to condescend, to draw near, to pursue, to bring presence to His people. Maybe, just maybe, the impossible will happen. That's exactly what we see announced. Verse 30 to 34. We've seen the impossible presence of God. Now we see the impossible conception of Jesus. The impossible conception of Jesus. Mary's fear, verse 29, is answered by the angel. Verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I think the message of our sermons morning and evening is basically this: don't be afraid, God is with us. Just the fact that we have those sermons or themes in morning and evening, we ought to hear that. Don't be afraid, God is with you. Can you remember that for this week? Don't be afraid, God comes and is with His people. But then there's something that's announced to Mary here that won't be announced to you this week. There's something so beyond us, something that's only been announced one time in world history, and it's announced right here. It's the announcer's call of the greatest miracle, the coming of Jesus. The Virgin Mary will bear a son. The Virgin Mary will name Him Jesus, the Lord saves. The Virgin Mary will have a son, and His name will be great, and He's going to take the throne of David, and He's going to reign forever and ever. Just imagine what it'd be like to hear those words. It's one thing to hear God is with you. It's another thing for the Virgin Mary to hear you have a child in your womb, and the child's going to be king of the world. And the initial emphasis of this announcement is really on the humanity of the one who would come in the womb of Mary. It's the miraculous conception of a boy, of a human, of Jesus Christ in the womb. Just work through the language of it. Verse 31, she will conceive. This is true conception. What is conception? The formation of human life. This would be a boy that would be formed in Mary's womb. Not a spirit, not a sort of kind of person, not a half person, a human formed in Mary's womb. It will be a son. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. This is greater than any gender reveal party you could ever have for a baby. The angel announcing a son in the womb of Mary. Mary could look at Jesus and say, "My son," as much as any of you mothers here could look at your son and say, "My son." This would be Mary's son. He would, in all likelihood, look like Mary. You ever thought of that? Probably had her nose, her ears, her eyes, her smile. This is Mary's son. He had a true body and a reasonable soul. And then he would get this name, this amazing name, Jesus, the Lord saves. A common name at that time, but what's being announced to her? This one in your womb is one who will come as a Savior. An ordinary boy, of course, the Son of the Most High, led to reign in the throne of His father David, reigning over the house of Jacob forever. It just fills me with joy to hear that announcement. It fills me with joy because what do I need? What do you need? I need a Savior. I need someone to show up and deal with the problems in my life. I need someone to come and come and be with me and come and save me and draw me out of my sins. And here He is. It's Jesus. Or some of you say, we need someone to lead us. We need someone to rule over us. We need someone who can lead us in wisdom and in truth and truly lead us in righteousness. Here He is. The King has come. And there is that exaltation. Simultaneously, there should be in your mind confusion. If you don't read this passage and get to verse 33 and be, if you're not a little confused, at least feeling Mary's confusion, you're not reading it clearly. You know why Mary would ask the question. Verse 34. How will this be? I'm a virgin. This doesn't happen. There's no biological, physiological, sociological reason why this would ever happen in her womb. It's never happened before. It would never happen again. And you can't get around it. It's Some people like to read this text and sort of, well, let's work on the edges here. Maybe Luke just slipped something in that's just tradition. No. The virgin birth breathes all the way through this passage. And we're led to this question, how do we understand this virgin birth? How do we understand what's taking place here? Here it is, the one, Jesus Christ, fully man in the womb of Mary, but we still have the question, how can it be? How can it be since I am a virgin? We've seen the impossible presence of God, the impossible conception of Jesus. We still have questions. We come thirdly to the impossible incarnation. The impossible incarnation. This is no mere child. This is no mere child that the Lord somehow decided to form in a different way than other children. Some of us might expect in verse 35 or so that the angel will sort of de-escalate the situation. Mary, I know you're confused. Let me make it. It's real simple. It's real basic. The angel does the opposite. The angel escalates it. It's far greater. It's far more complex. It's far more glorious. It's a greater mystery than you can possibly know. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. This announced to Mary is the Son of God Himself. This is no mere man. This is the second person of the Trinity who will be conceived in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will overshadow. The Holy Spirit will hover. Same language you had back at creation. The Holy Spirit would hover over the water. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit hovers and the Word speaks the world into existence. Here you have a new creation moment. The Holy Spirit overshadows the womb of Mary. And yet instead of the Word simply speaking something into existence, the Word enters the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the location of the dwelling of the Word, the location of the Son of God, is the womb of the Virgin Mary. And announced to us here is far more than this amazing human, this amazing man who will come and do everything you'd ever want. Announced to us here is God become man, God take on flesh, the Son of God, fully God, fully man. Only by the Holy Spirit can this happen. Only by the Holy Spirit can you have a Savior who is the Son of David and a Savior who is the Son of God. Only by the Holy Spirit can you have one who is holy, the second Adam to live in holiness, and the one who is the Holy, Holy, Holy One. Only by the Holy Spirit in this moment can you have one person, two natures, Jesus Christ, the God-man. What's announced to you here is something so significant, something so transformative. It's beyond our grasp. Some of you may say, I really can't get that. I really can't understand that. How can it be? And the answer is, I think you're getting it. I think you're getting it. That God's solution, that God's solution is not simply to speak a solution, but to come as the solution. And the womb of the Virgin Mary is that location that God says, I'm coming. I'm coming to dwell with man in full. You sing Psalm 102, why do you hide your face from me, God? God says, I'm not hiding my face. In the person of Jesus Christ, I come to earth. Who is this one? He is Jesus, the Savior, to save us. He is the Son of God, the King to rule us. He is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He is God Himself, come to redeem. You see the beauty of the story of history here? In creation, God announces His presence to the world by a word. In incarnation, God says, I'm coming to that world, a sinful world. In creation, God creates a dwelling place for man. In incarnation, God says, I'm coming to restore that dwelling. I'm coming to inhabit that dwelling. In creation, God forms what is holy. In the incarnation, God says, I'm coming to redeem what's been made unholy. And the announcement to you this evening is that comes in the person of Jesus Christ. Can you look at this world? Can you look at all of its calamity and be amazed at the fact that God would say, I will come in Jesus Christ to redeem this place? And the answer is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. Now, some of you say you haven't explained the impossible yet. It sounds impossible. How could God take on flesh while remaining unchanged in Himself? How could this be? It seems even more impossible, more mysterious than ever. For some of you, the impossibility is really cognitive. I don't get it. How can it be? For others of you, maybe the impossible is more practical. How can this really be what changes my life forever? How can I see this changing my Monday morning? Which is why we're amazed at where the Holy Spirit takes us through the angel here, verse 37. He hasn't explained the impossible. He's just said this. Nothing will be impossible with God. The angel does not explain it. The angel does not get a science textbook out and tell Mary, here's how it works. The angel does not go through a whole series of arguments as to why this could possibly happen, that there would be a virgin birth. The angel's job is not to explain it. The angel's job is to announce it. And then to call Mary, to call you, to in the impossible rest where? God. The character of God. Who does what you and I think we can never explain. But God performs the impossible. In the incarnation of Christ, we've not departed from the mysterious. We've just arrived at God the Redeemer. We've discovered who our God is. We've discovered that He's the God that does what we never could imagine He could do to save the likes of you and me. And the call for you this evening is to say with Mary. The call for you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day is to say with Mary, Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Verse 38. Do you think Mary understood the virgin birth as she walked away from that conversation? Do you think Mary could explain to her friends how this all worked out because she had the Holy Spirit's word here? Or do you think Mary learned to say this? Nothing's impossible with God. So let it be according to your word. I'm your servant. What, this is the response when you encounter our God. To rest in what seems impossible to man, but to say, He made this world. He can recreate this world. And He can come to this world to save. J.C. Ryle here describes Mary's faith like a pillow. Some of you know what it is to fall asleep very quickly on your pillow. You don't remember what happened after her head hits the pillow at night. Others of you, you toss and turn. You remember that hour before you finally fell asleep. Ryle says it like this, Faith never rests so calmly and peacefully as when it lays its head on the pillow of God's omnipotence. Faith never rests so calmly as when it rests on the pillow of God's omnipotence. What pillow are you going to fall asleep on tonight? Is it going to be depending on yourself? Is going to be looking at the problems of the week, whether it's a problem just in your house or your attempts to look at the problems in our world and try to understand and solve it all in your mind by the time you get to Saturday night. Whereas the pillow you're going to rest in over and over again is the omnipotence of God. It says, look what He did. He's the God who sent Jesus Christ to the womb of the Virgin Mary. He's the God I can be trusting.
I can't trust myself, but I can trust God in the person of Jesus Christ. What's that miracle you're longing for right now? Some people are just longing for the miracle of forgiveness. How could I ever be forgiven? Jesus Christ showed up in a sinful world. Jesus Christ announced His purpose to deal with people like you. Some of you, the impossible is just facing this week with that fear and anxiety we heard about this morning. What was Mary's word to the fear? What was the word? The Lord is with you. And the presence of Jesus says, the Lord is with you. Can you say that to yourself this week? The Lord is with me. Because Jesus Christ has come. And for some of you, the impossible, it is, as I've alluded to already several times, the impossible is dealing with these situations we face in our world. The situations of racism. The situations of reconciliation. Man to woman. Brother to sister. In this world of image bearers of God. Can you believe in this? That Jesus Christ came to that world. He knew everything that was wrong. He knew everything that was broken. He didn't just come as sort of a spirit and stand above that world and say, you guys all figured it out. He came into that world to solve the problems that you and I face. And it may seem impossible to solve the situation in your eyes right now. But just go back and remember the virgin birth. And then say, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let's pray. Lord, we're your servants. Let it be according to your word. Your word has said what will be. Your word has accomplished it in the word Jesus Christ. May we be found in you forever, that you would be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.